And she's hiding because it's true.
Oh my gosh.
15-year-old, you should have logged off by now.
Hello, my name is Mrs. Melanie.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with episode 220 of
How Married Are You? Okay, my name is Belief. This is Yvette. We married 13 years. Living in California, we got 4 kids. Relationship's scary. It's very necessary. We share our love of struggles. We ask
how married are you?
Every Tuesday and Thursday, shawty. If you're listening, you're in the wedding party. It's okay if you want to put your hands up. You got the questions. We got the answers.
It's chocolate baby story time.
Chocolate baby story time.
It's chocolate baby story time.
1, 2, 3, and yo.
It's chocolate baby story time.
So we did our first annual, I think we're going to do it again, Stream Festival, right? We had a Stream Festival for Black History Month. Stream is science, technology, robotics, engineering, art, and math, okay? And we had a bunch of black people come out. It was dope. Bunch of black vendors, and Genentech was our sponsor. It was incredible. Really dope event. So I'm on stage. Me and Frank are hosting, and we're back there, and everything's going great. And Anaya is just looking at me from off stage, just kind of smiling. And so I'm hosting. I'm trying to do my thing with Frank, and it's getting a little discombobulated because it's our first one. We were just all over the place. And Anaya came back, and she was like, "Dad, when you go up on stage, can I go with you?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course." So she came out with me, and then I was like, "You want to help me host?" And she was like, "Yes." So Anaya is the child. I didn't know that she was as, like, forthcoming. What is that, right? Is that the right word?
You mean as, like,
outgoing.
Outgoing.
She's, like, put me in the front every time I want to be. And I've seen her kind of stand up and do this stuff before, but not like this. It just was like no fear at all. Mm-hmm. She's stepping into our footsteps. Like anything we do, our kids are catching up. And shout out to the cameraman yesterday. Theo was filming on his own. Like, I didn't even tell him to. He's just following in the footsteps. But I realized it's because of the environment he was in. He saw a lot of black kids on stage. I'm starting to learn something about these kids. It was really
and
dope.
How cool was it to see, like, all those black kids?
Yeah, it was amazing. So Oceanside's getting lit, y'all.
Getting lit out in these streets. I am so excited to share my chocolate baby story time. Okay, so Anaya and I think our future is bright, y'all. She's, like, turning out to be everything I ever wanted in a daughter. I just hope that I really honor her in this relationship, and I just hope it lasts forever. Anywho, oh, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I can ruin it. I don't say that I would ruin it, but you know how, like, you just never know what you're doing to scar your children.
Yeah.
Anywho, the other day I was oiling her scalp, and then she ended up oiling my scalp, and it was super sweet.
Super
and
cute.
I just look forward to the days when she can do my retwists.
Mm-hmm.
Because my husband over here.
Your husband what?
He's slacking, bro.
I ain't slacking.
You need to be washing my hair, giving me ACV.
I'm tired of the mistreatment. You would never treat your hairstylist like you treat me. You're not doing it right. Can you get over here? You wait till after it's done, and then you tell me if they ain't doing it right.
I can't see, and I don't know.
Yeah, there we go. All right. All right,
y'all.
Go ahead
and make sure you just right now, you like this video. If you're listening on a podcast app and you've never left us a review, I would love for you to just take a moment and leave a 5-star review in this moment. Let the people know that they need to tune in to all this goodness, because the wedding party is getting lit, y'all. It's getting lit. I don't know if lit is a appropriate word.
People don't say lit no more.
They don't say that no more?
Yeah.
What do they say? Fi-fi?
What?
Fi-fi? What? Fi-fi. Toby Nguigwe's song?
No, baby, that song.
That's my hype song.
It sounds like 2 or 3 years old.
It's not. It is not. Is it that old?
All right, let's stay on track.
I am staying on track. Anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, because she wants to look up how long her old Fi-fi is.
I know it's
not. So make sure you guys support us, man. It's really easy to support the channel, okay? We don't often have a lot of sponsors, but when we do have sponsors, if you would purchase something from the sponsor. We do have a special sponsor coming up, which I'm really excited about. Yeah, support in that way. Like the video on YouTube. Share the Instagram post that we have on the podcast, like on Instagram. That's really important. And then also leave us a review, right? Very simple things that you guys can do. Sharing the information with people that you care about would be really dope.
Did you tell them to subscribe?
Yeah, subscribe to the channel too, man. Like, subscribers going up is always a great thing. And YouTube is really like our favorite platform. So big shout out to YouTube.
Should we introduce ourselves real quick? Because if you did just by chance land here coincidentally, you saw a post on Instagram and or TikTok and you said, let me go over here in YouTube and check them out. My name is Yvette.
And I'm Belief Mel.
No, you're Glenn.
I'm Glenn. Yes, my name is Glenn.
Because every time I say Glenn on social media.
Like, who is Glenn?
Who is Glenn?
Yeah, I'm Glenn. So my name is Glenn Henry. This is what happened. I was rapping and my MC name is Belief, B-E-L-E-A-F. And it's Belief Melanin. And that's why Yvette goes by Mrs. Melanin. And so
we live in sunny SoCal, California.
Yeah.
SoCal, California. That was very repetitive.
That's the whole point of the intro is we rap and they know everything about us.
Oh, yeah. We did say that.
Goodness gracious. Anyway, my wife here sometimes forget who she is, but she does never forget where she belongs. And where Amen. She belongs.
Yes, sir.
On May 10th through the 13th.
Is in Carefree, Arizona. Right. And if you want to be carefree with me, you need to go to YvetteHenry.com and check out all the information on Unplugged. Unplugged is a retreat for moms. It is an opportunity for you to unplug from your day-to-day life, your day-to-day duties, your day-to-day responsibilities. All those people who be kind of tugging at you wanting something. It's not that you don't want them to need you or you don't desire to be there for them, but it's that sometimes you've got to unplug and you've got to go plug in to a different type of source. And sometimes you need somebody to provide that for you. And I am here to do that just for you. We are going to go to Carefree, Arizona. I have chosen a beautiful wellness resort and spa that I myself have already visited. I have enjoyed the facilities.
And you're partnering with them.
And I am partnering with them to bring you a wonderful weekend of rest. And so I ask that you would just join us. The registration is currently open. I think by the time that this podcast comes out, it is now general registration.
Yeah.
So make sure that you run over there. You let your spouse know. You let your partner know. I think one of the things that I was thinking about actually as I was driving to the office today is how Glenn and I have been able to advocate for ourselves and in our marriage, in our relationship, in a way that we are able to express like, hey, I need this, or I want to be treated this way, or I want to be respected this way. Each of us is not always able to hear the other person in the moment, but I think eventually we get it. And so one of the things that I don't want you to shy away from is if this sounds like something that you need, share it with your spouse. You may go to the website and you may be like, oh my goodness, this is too expensive. But you never know what your partner or your spouse is going to say. They might say, yeah, this is a worthy investment for you to be able to come back to us more yourself. You know, sometimes we kind of, I don't want to say let ourselves go, but sometimes we put ourselves last. And it's okay sometimes to kind of step out in front and be like, I need this. I promise I need this. There is a payment plan available through PayPal later. You would have to go through the whole registration, check out, and then you have an option for PayPal later. And so if you can't make it in the full payment, there is a, I think it's 4 payment option for you. And it's a monthly payment. And if you are someone who is not necessarily in a mother, or you are not in a season where you feel like this is something you'd need and you'd like to sponsor another mom to go, that is something you can do through Belief in Good organization. And it is a tax deductible donation. So if you'd like more information on that, you can email me at info@YvetteHenry.com. Or you can DM me on any social media platform, all the things. I hope to see you guys there. I hope you understand that it is okay for you to release the duties and the things that are before you, it's okay for you to find rest, and it is okay for you to remain in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah. And let me just say something real quick, man. Can you text me blessings information real quick?
Yes.
Let me just say something real quick. I heard someone say that the biggest, like, indicator on a child's health is not the presence of the father. It's not direct relationship between the father and a child. It's the emotional satisfaction and capacity of the mother. It's the emotional satisfaction and capacity of the mother. And I've noticed that I don't care what a man say out his mouth. If you look at a wife's disposition, you know everything you need to know about the marriage and the family.
Mm-hmm.
We can tell. Mm-hmm. We can tell, bro. So some of you guys may recognize the disposition on your wife, or you may see like, oh, man, this woman doesn't look happy sometimes. And I'm doing everything I can. But it's not so much you need to do something. Sometimes you need to let her go do something for herself. You understand me? So I just want to drop that there. And I also want to say that there's a huge important thing that I think we sometimes have a conversation is Yvette will start dropping gems now. Hey, next year I want to go to this, like the reunion tour. She'll be like, oh, 6-7 months from now, I want to go to this. Or next, oh, I may not be able to go next year, this year, but next year I want to go. So even if there's something you're not thinking about, man, I wish I can go this year, I can't. Next year, you need to tell your husband, hey, I'm going. Tell your kids, next year mommy's going to be gone for Mother's Day. I ain't doing this again. You understand? Like, let's take that break. Let's take that rest. Okay. So we do have a topic that we want to talk about. Yvette, did you ever pull it up? Okay.
Hello, please do not disclose my name. Y'all don't have to say that. We ain't going to tell nobody unless you tell us they are fake names, because we all got to follow the story. I am married. I am a married mother of two beautiful girls. My girls and I have all been diagnosed with ADHD, and my youngest and I are medicated. My oldest is not. This year, I will be married for 10 years. Congratulations.
Congrats.
I am in an unequally yoked marriage. My husband does not want to or desire to go to church. And the older I get, the more I understand the importance of having a husband that puts God first. I'm tired of doing life alone. Since 2017, we have moved in with my parents and we have paid no rent, just lights and water. Over the years, he has changed jobs, lost a job, and now I don't see a way out of my parents' house. I am grateful that they have allowed us to be here this long, but I feel it's made my husband too comfortable. He no longer cooks, he barely helps me clean behind the kids, and recently I had to ask him to pick our youngest daughter when he gets off work early to help me. He would just drive by her daycare and come home, leaving me to pick her up after I get off work around 6 p.m. I am just tired. We have already had a conversation about what help I need around the house and with the kids and about how my mental health is being affected by our relationship. I also work a full-time job and he is a driver, so the responsibility of the kids lies on me. I've taken so much time off work for our kids' sick days and a surgery they both have had, school events and doctor's appointments. Now I barely have any PTO left. He has the kind of job that he can't just take off, so that puts everything on me. During our last conversation, I told him that if I have to choose my mental health over him, I choose me, and we can just be co-parents. He agreed. Not once did he say, no, that's not what I want. He just agreed and said he would have to pick up the slack more, and he gave it all of 2 weeks, and then it sort of went back to usual. I am seriously considering divorce. Not due to infidelity or abuse. I just really don't believe we are compatible. I don't know what to do. Please help. It is a lot more I can write, and I'm not all perfect, but I feel like it may be over. I'm getting more into God's word and more involved in church, and I don't trust my husband to lead us where we need to be since God is not first in his life. Please help with your advice from a married couple perspective. I apologize if my words are all over the place. It's kind of how my brain works, LOL. I await to hear your thoughts. You know what I'm always interested with these types of things? Is were you a believer before you got married?
Look, y'all, let's not be hopeless as we pursue love. Our premarital advantage is available for 50% off. These are all the questions, all the conversations we wish we had before we got married, okay? And even if you are in a relationship, this is a really good conversation starter to make sure you guys are on the same page about a lot of different things. Now, this is a spring sale, so it's only available at this price for a limited time. Make sure you go to the show notes and hit the link to sign up for the premarital advantage right now.
Like, were you a believer before you got married?
Yeah, like,
because then I feel like there's a different level of accountability here, if that makes sense.
For him?
For her.
Okay.
Part of me is like, okay, were you a believer before you got married? Because if you were, you made a conscious decision to marry someone who isn't about that life. Now, she says he does not want or desire to go to church. Now, I don't necessarily believe you have to go to church in order to be
me neither
a Christian or whatever. And I know everyone's going to be in the comment section talking about
you gotta be around the body.
Don't forsake the body
gathering,
or gathering or whatever.
And that's true.
And that is true.
Yeah, right.
And I think that you can still be in community without attending church.
Yes.
However, we don't have to get into that. Okay. So let's just not get into it yet. Maybe that will be a conversation for another day. But I think that if What is happening?
Lily, what the heck?
Go sit down, Lily.
Go lay down, baby. Go lay down. Go lay down.
She always puts her butt where it
sit.
Doesn't belong.
Sit.
She probably has to go potty. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you go into the marriage knowing, I think that's why that is like such an important conversation to have before you get married.
It's been 10 years, though. People get saved over 10 years.
People get saved over 10 years?
Yeah, like if she wasn't a believer, or if she even wasn't a believer, she probably started to dive
into
it. Yeah,
now that's what I'm saying. I think it's different when you develop a relationship with the Lord after marriage.
But what if it just wasn't as solid as it is now?
And that's another thing, you know what I'm saying? So that's tough. It's interesting because I do know we did go to church with women that were married and we never saw their husband. Like growing up, you know,
mm-hmm.
You just never saw their husband, but they were married. And I don't know what their marriage was like. Ooh, I don't know. This one's tough because I feel like that part in and of itself is important.
What?
Because when you have, I feel like what really does help our relationship is the fact that we both have a relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And when we both, I love the visual of the triangle as like you're getting closer to God. Like we are at the bottom base of the triangle,
mm-hmm.
and then God's at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get closer to the Lord, we're getting closer to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And right now she's getting closer to the Lord, but the closer she gets, if her husband's over here, she's getting more distant from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that prayer is a powerful thing. Priscilla Shire has a book called Fervent Prayer. Very good. I haven't read it yet.
How do you know it's good? You ain't read it.
I've heard really good things about it, and I have it on my bookshelf, and it's on my list to get to. Sorry, but I do know I've done her Armor of God study, and she talks about, because for the Armor of God to work, prayer is a very significant part of that activation. Anyway, there's lots of books and blog posts about the power of a praying wife. However, if you've been praying for 10 years or X amount of years, I can understand how exhausting that can be. And if he is not showing any level of growth, I can understand how exhausting that can be.
But this dude seemed like a kind of like a goofball because he's saying like, well, if you want to leave, that's fine. I'll have to step up.
In 2017, they moved in.
Babe, that was 7 years ago.
Okay, I was trying to do the math.
Anais was born in 2017.
Yeah, so... Wow. Yeah.
But he said this. He said, I'm okay with that. That's the main thing. When he says, she says, I told him that if I have to choose my mental health over him, I choose me. And we can go, we can just be co-parents. He agreed.
It seemed, and then she goes.
He's tried for 2 weeks and then it stopped.
It seems like what he agreed to was that he would.
Oh, step it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Once again, dang it, man. We keep getting to this thing where we have men with no, it seemed like to me, he might not have any community and he might not have any standards or anyone holding account and accountability.
And this is why I believe in gatherings.
Uh-huh.
How Married Are You Live? I believe that that space is a space where we can host events for people to connect with each other in a way that they gain like-minded community.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that because I don't know. Like, I'm curious what that looks like to expand that community differently.
And I think that's a possibility. And I don't want to do that alone. That's why we need to work on our How Married Are You board, because we are not supposed to solve everyone's problems.
True.
There are people in his community he probably can tap. There's probably somebody that he knows that, you know, may like, hey, let's hang out. But he don't know how to network. Maybe. I don't know. He may know how. He just lazy. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But we can't solve everybody's problems.
True.
Here it is, right? If you're having this type of problem in your marriage, it's probably a lack of community in your husband. Right? So church is going to.
Say that again.
If you're having this type of problem in your marriage,
uh-huh.
it's probably based on a lack of community in your husband.
In your husband? Like your husband's lack of community.
Your husband's lack of community.
Okay.
Lack of accountability. Because men who have accountability.
True.
Don't live here often. They don't spend 7 years at their mom's, at their wife's in-law's house without like. I'm almost graduating college. I'm working on this thing. We're building this business. Mm-hmm. If he's just working a job and living out of somebody else's house, that don't seem like somebody who, you know what I'm saying, got community. Now, I'm not talking about friends. I'm saying community, right? So friends is different. The homie, you can go play, you know, smoke a cigar with him or go play pool or bowling or whatever, or cousin or family members. Those are like, that's not, I wouldn't call that community. I'm talking about people you're doing life with that's moving in a certain direction and you guys are all holding each other accountable. I'm talking about village, right? I'm leaning on you. We borrowing sugar or whatever, sharing each other's burdens and praying for each other. That's what we're doing. And I know he's not a believer, but if he's a truck driver, which is what he does, right? Right.
Or I don't know if he's a truck driver. She said driver.
He's a driver, right? I don't know. That could be freaking DoorDash. We don't know what that is.
Yeah.
So I'm not even going to say that. But so a lot of these people live on islands. They live alone. One thing about doing, like, to be in community, you have to offer something. I taught this lesson to the boys not too long ago. To be in community, you have to offer something. You have to offer at least the bare minimum to get into community is to be vulnerable. You have to offer vulnerable and transparency. I'm struggling with this. I'm really good at this. I'm, you know, I'm thinking about this. What do you think, right? That's like the bare minimum. If you can't be vulnerable, you don't get any trust, right? And the second part of community is trust. Dang, I'm on my masterclass again. I'm teaching, right? So first, in order to have community, you have to have vulnerability. And then you have to have trust. And then you should be bringing something to the market. You should be offering, hey, I have this resource or I have this skill or I have this ability. I know that if I ever need to talk about anything legal, I go to my buddy Jimmy, who went to Berkeley. You know what I'm saying? Like he was in school for law. And I also have another friend that I can tap with. You know what I mean? If I ever need help moving something, if somebody needs help moving something, they know they can borrow my truck. I'll help them. Or if they have questions about storytelling or whatever, or social media, like I'm there for them. And I'm not saying that that's something that I should be getting paid for or anything like that. I'm just saying that's something I can offer the community. Or if somebody needs to watch, get their kids watched, we can watch their kids. You know, like certain things we can, problems we can solve, right? That's what we're doing. We're giving each other our burdens and we're laying all that stuff down, right? Mm-hmm. And it's all submitted to the community. Mm-hmm. So transparency, trust, and then you're offering something. And then after that, you have to be like nice. Like friendly and like wanting to be around people, you know, because I can add value, but sometimes I'm not in the mood to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be approachable, right? And that's going to get you in the door to get the people that you need to help you get into that next level. Now, I don't know if that's the right order, but there is something about moving forward with intention with a group of people. But if he is never shown a sign of like, man, I want to do this, you know, or I want to change my life in this way, or you just look at yourself like, man, I need to lose weight. I need to go hang out with some people who are exercising, mm-hmm. right? Like Yvette goes, when she goes to Burn, like it's a whole different person that comes back home because she's around a bunch of women who are really excited to do amazing work on their bodies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they're going after it. They're working hard. They're trying hard. Everyone's sweating. It's that sweat equity, right, that you that you get out of those environments.
Yeah.
And so if you're hanging around a bunch of people that don't live like that, don't move like that, this is the result you get. You're okay with staying with your mom, with your mother-in-law for 7 years with no sign of getting out. Now I'm going to give this dude the benefit of the doubt and just say he don't know how. What if he don't know how?
Yeah, I was going to say that too because I feel like this is a common theme that's been coming up with these episodes lately and when people are writing in about their spouse being one way or the other. And I feel like we can say community all we want. And you just said it requires vulnerability, then trust. You need to be able to add value and you also got to be a nice enough person, right? Mm-hmm. However, I think there is that question of how. Because I think some people don't know how to put themselves in position, or maybe they don't do enough life with people to have people that they want to be in community with. Does mm-hmm. that make sense? Mm-hmm. So what does it look like for someone like this gentleman to...
No, these are skills that he has to work on. How? Why am I not vulnerable? Look, man, we can't like change our lives and our wives' perceptions of us if we do not ask ourselves the really tough questions that are sitting in the back of our head, right?
Okay, what are the tough questions?
Just look at it's just the reverse of this.
Okay.
So if I say, man, one of the things you got to do to be in community is be vulnerable. You got to be honest and like transparent. Like you got to be able to be yourself. Then the question is, why am I not vulnerable? What is keeping me from being vulnerable? Well, I don't want people in my life, or I don't want people knowing my business. Why don't I want people knowing my business? Okay, let's work backwards. I don't want to be judged. Okay. Mm. Why don't I want to be judged? Because I think that people are going to look down on me. Why do I care if people look down on me? Because I really care about what people think.
Why do you care what people think?
Why do you care about what people think? Because I know that if people think highly of me, or if I at least show that people should like me and respect me, I'd never really have to commit fully to a relationship. You never know.
Why don't you want to commit fully to a relationship?
Because I don't want to be known.
Why don't you want to be known?
Because I don't know myself.
Why don't you know yourself?
I don't know.
Ooh.
So if we go like backwards.
What would it take to get you to know yourself?
This is Yvette flirting. No, like those are really good questions.
No, yeah,
but if you work backwards, I have to work backwards too. Like when I'm having conversations and I'm like, okay, why is this upsetting me? Why does Yvette spending time with this person, this friend of hers, upsetting me? Because I'm jealous. Why am I jealous? Because I think she's going to leave me. Why do I think she's going to leave me? Because my such and such left.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or like, because, you know, I'm insecure. Mm-hmm. Why are you insecure? Because I think I'm not enough. Why do you feel like you're not enough? Haven't you proved? Yeah, I have. And then I have to have the conversation back to myself. No, I am enough. I have proved that I am enough. I don't care if she hangs out with this person. It's actually benefiting her. She needs this time. She needs to feel like she's enough. Maybe that's why. Okay, I'm good. Have fun. You know what I'm saying?
Dang.
Like, I have that internal conversation all the time with myself.
I wish I was more like that.
Mm.
You've just encouraged me to start working backwards.
But you know what's crazy? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, because I feel like in the work that you're doing backwards, you are further able to affirm who you actually are. Mm-hmm. And then you become a little bit more in tune with when you ask the question, well, why don't you know who you are? Well, you know what I mean? Like, it's a practice that kind of also informs who you are.
Yeah.
That's really good, babe. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. But I think also what we do as people is sometimes we don't want to ask ourselves these tough questions because we don't like the answers to the tough questions, right? And then the only ways I'm the only way I'm really able to do this is because I've had therapy. And it's the type of questions my therapist asks. Mm-hmm. Well, why do you feel like that? Well, what proof do you have of that? Mm-hmm. And I have to go, well, I don't got no proof in it. Okay, so why do you think that? I don't know why I think that. Okay, so can you not think that? I can. It's going to take a lot. Okay, what's going to help you not think about that? I'm probably thinking about this. Okay, let's think about this. I'm like, this is what I'm paying you for? I can do this to myself.
Don't say that because a lot of people believe they can and they cannot.
No, no, no. Some people can't. But the person who taught me, okay, the person who taught me how to do this mm-hmm. or to even think about doing this was Eric Thomas. Mm. So I asked Eric Thomas, bro, why you ain't in therapy? He's like, I talk to myself. I'm like, man, that sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. But then I listened to his thought process and how the conversation he had. I was like, oh, this is like me talking to my therapist. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I was able to go from every other week with therapy to once a month is because I can step in and do my therapist's job mm-hmm. for a second. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, some fish are too big to fry. Mm-hmm. But there are certain things I can say, hey, man, what is the real issue? Why is your wife displeased about this thing? And now I can even go, that's her problem. Mm-hmm. That's not my problem. Why do I, and I'm having that conversation more. Mm-hmm. Well, what proof do I have that I failed you?
Yeah, Glenn does that so much that it has started to rub off on me. Where it's like, wait a minute, this isn't my problem. I do not receive this.
Yeah.
This don't belong to me.
Just like this man here. Where yeah. We're like, we can sit here and try to make a whole event for these men. Yeah. Or it's like, no, bro, you got to recognize the fact that, one, your wife is unhappy. We can tell by the look on our face. She's communicated that mm-hmm. to you. There's something a matter with the status quo right now. Mm-hmm. You are okay living in a situation. She's not, okay? Is this what you really want to live like? And why? Why is this okay? Now, let's start asking yourself those questions. But if you don't have community for people to press up against you and nudge you and hold you accountable, then of course you're going to stay in the situation.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? Because I'm listening to the email, and I feel like she has a lack of security. And if there was any way that he could provide her with security, she would feel better. And now, this might sound really stupid to say. However, I'm going to say it.
Are you scared? You've been warned. I'm fine.
Do you think, because, you know, there's safety, right? And if he was physically abusing her or some sort of, like, unsafe behavior that is more socially accepted as bad, mm-hmm. quote-unquote bad, mm-hmm. To where she felt unsafe, it would mm-hmm. be like, yeah, girl, get out of there. Like, leave. But for the course of 7 years, he has not been able to make her feel secure. Mm-hmm. And so my question is, like,
do the two equate?
Does it, I don't know if it's so much if it equates, but, like, yeah.
So you think safety and security equate?
That's what I think that's the question I'm asking myself. Like, is there a difference between safety and security?
I think so.
There is. Okay. Talk to me about it. And I'm still working through this, but go ahead, talk. Okay, I'm actually going to look up the physical definition.
Okay. So I think safety is like, don't speed. Safety is like, don't speed. Security is, we're going to put police and speed limits and traffic lights so that you don't speed. Safety is wear a seatbelt. You want to ask our professional?
No, you're right. Specialist? Babe. ChatGPT said that safety primarily concerns the prevention of accidents, which is, I think, what you were saying. I'll read the whole thing. Safety primarily concerns the prevention of accidents, injuries, or harm to individuals. It focuses on creating environments or conditions where people, property, or the environment are protected from harm, danger, or risk. Safety measures often involve procedures, protocols, systems designed to mitigate potential hazards or danger. Safety can encompass various domains, including workplace safety, road safety, fire safety, and public safety. Security, on the other hand, is more focused on protection against intentional threats or unauthorized access. It involves safeguarding assets, information systems, and individuals from deliberate acts of theft, vandalism, terrorism, espionage, or other malicious activities. Security measures typically involve the implementation of policies, technologies, and procedures to detect, deter, and respond to security breaches or unauthorized actions. So him being able to work would be more of, or like provide in that way, would be more of a safety issue than security?
I think right now they are safe.
Okay.
They have,
because
for
they
7
have a,
years,
they have a they roof have over
been,
their head.
They have a roof over their head. They, it's almost like surviving versus thriving almost, but okay. Not really, but kind of.
You know, I think it's a matter of who's providing the safety, right? Like, does, I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to make sense of something that doesn't need to be made sense of. But I'm thinking of the fact that, like, and this might be, like,
you're trying to legitimize her leaving. Yeah.
So it wasn't that I was trying to legitimize it because I'm a proponent of marriage and staying married. What I was trying to see is... Okay, yeah.
Does she have an out? Does she have an opportunity to leave?
I was just trying to think of, like... But... I was more so trying to measure how he is or is not doing his part. And I feel like it's obvious, but when I feel like it's obvious, and this might, don't come at me, y'all. I feel like it's obvious. And I think this is a conversation, because when you think about the difference of safety and security, as I just read it, it's like, who is responsible for providing that safety? And essentially, I do believe it is a combined effort or like whatever. But a lot of times it does fall on the man to provide those preventative measures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we as a team can work together. I don't know. I need to spend more time with this thought.
Yeah, I think that I don't think she has what she thinks. As because it's almost like if you're not providing for your family, aren't you just as detrimental as someone who would be, you know, coming to harm your family?
Yeah.
Because you guys aren't thriving.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, but and this is the question is, who did you marry?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you married this individual who may have shown signs of what he was capable of doing, and this is what he is, and this is what he became. Can we fault a man for not growing?
Yes.
You think so? Now, that's just you. I think that's a personal thing. I think that's a personal thing. I don't know if we can do that.
Why would you say that?
Because though it's the hope, it's not what comes standard package, like with the individual. Some people... if they aren't seen and shown, like if their environments don't change,
that's true.
They don't know that they're even doing bad.
I align with this because when I think about a plant, if it's not getting appropriate sunlight, if it's not getting water, if it's not getting the soil that it needs, you're right. The condition and the environment speaks highly of it. How married are you?
I'm so married. I'm so married that I stayed home this morning when you asked me for sex.
I just wish there was an eject button.
Well, you're up, we getting the kids ready. She's like, I want to have sex.
No. That is not how it happened. Oh, my gosh.
She said,
I'm not even. I don't. Okay,
okay,
ask
it,
me.
It didn't
ask
happen
me.
Like that. She said, put your peen in me.
No.
And she's hiding because it's true.
Oh, my gosh.
15-year-old, you should have logged off by now. Get out of here.
Babe,
say it.
I don't. Say what?
How married are you, babe?
Ugh. So married, I'm going to leave.
That's all true story.
Babe, I'm so married. I had one before. Oh, I'm so married. Saturday morning, we had agreed Glenn was going to take the oldest two boys, to hockey assessments. And me and the other kids would meet him and the big kids at basketball. And this guy decides that I need to come. And he decides literally I need to come, like, as they're walking out the door. Mind you, I'm still in my pajamas and I'm planning on showering, taking my time, you know, all the things. So I get dressed funky and nasty and just go on to, what you call it? I just put my own self on blast.
She was funky and horny. That's all we know.
Ah,
and that's just how married we are.
Oh my gosh.